Let me welcome you also to this audio version of the PDH online course on the 2008 National Electric Code. As indicated, I'm Tom Mason. I work as a design electrical engineer, not just at the board, though I do my own drafting and my own design and my own negotiation with architects and sometimes end users and with plans review departments, and very rarely with electrical inspectors. That's mostly the contractor and the electrical inspector that work together. But I do like to get out in the field and talk with the contractor doing the work and talk with the inspector and do my own walkthroughs at the end. I really, really enjoy seeing how it transforms from paper to reality. So that's where I come from. In the written version of the course, which you can download, I believe, from PDH online, there is some descriptive material we'll go through, and then something called the content. And this is about 40 pages of down and dirty National Electric Code, discussing details and how it works and how it doesn't work and what you do instead and things like that. So that's what we're going to do in this audio course. I'm going to read that to you and perhaps add just a little bit of commentary and a sides on top of it, because it does get so dull just studying this again and again. By the way, that's what I do. I have read the 2008 National Electric Code from cover to cover at least 4 times, and I learn something from it each time. It sounds dreadful, and it is dreadful, but it has value. And there's a trick question out there: which is the most important section of the National Electric Code? Well, every section there exists to save somebody's life or keep a building from burning down. Everything in there has a point at which it is critical. We're going to do about 40 pages of written equivalent of discussion on the National Electric Code. The code itself runs about 1,000 pages. And the code handbook, which I use as a reference to try to figure out what they're talking about, runs over 2,000 pages. In this course, we've made an effort to discuss changes from the 2005 National Electric Code, but most critical aspects of commercial and electrical design are touched upon. Material is addressed in the same order as it is presented in the National Electric Code, with citations to each of the rules mentioned. That is, you can go in and find the section we're talking about and compare it with the comments made here. Authors' observations and comments attempt to place the basic rules and changes in context. Machine's doing strange things. I don't claim to be the most proficient computer user. I'm just amazed at the things they do for me at times. The course includes a multiple choice quiz at the end to help assure comprehension. The course exactly... Did we already say that? No, we didn't. The course exactly follows the structure of the 2008 National Electric Code, with some digressions to connect related rules. The preface, introduction, and definitions are explained as very special parts of the code, with detailed discussion of the rules beginning in the definitions section. Requirements for electrical installations, ground conductors, grounding, feeders, branch circuits, services, overcurrent protection, surge protection devices, conductors, industrial control panels, transformers and reactors, low voltage wiring, and data communications are all addressed. Residential design and fine points of specialized areas, such as electrical processes, are not addressed. Examples are given from wastewater treatment plants and general manufacturing. The course is also available in audio. We're doing the audio now, and a live online webinar format. That's something we do for the state of New York, which requires face-to-face. Do we mean that over the telephone? Well, the live interaction in the coursework, and the live sessions are superb, mostly because of what the other people bring to it. We have people who were involved in the design of the World Trade Center. People, the one fellow does highway signal design for the state of New York Department of Transportation, and he was explaining to me that they're not permitted to record any bad things that happen in the intersection. They're only allowed to use it to switch the lights. I mean, wonderful things just keep coming up in the live interaction. So I recommend that highly, though it is a bit pricey. At the conclusion of this course, the student will be able to report the original scope and purpose of the National Electric Code, recent scope and purpose expansions beyond the original, be able to confidently identify enforceable and non-enforceable portions of the code, be able to discuss different levels of access required by the National Electric. Access is a very critical concept. Locking things up, making them so a ladder is not required to get into them, things like that. Be aware of common workarounds to almost comply with the code in public environments. And this refers back to access. The code says people have to be able to get in to switch the switches, but we know that we don't want the general public going in switching the switches. So how do you get around that? And there are ways to get around it. Be able to state the enforceable standards applied to industrial panels, including HVAC. Be aware of simple principles confused within the code by the terms grounding and bonding. Understand the meaning of the term separately derived system. Understand the choice between three-wire and four-wire transfer switches for generators. Understand the difference between utility conductor protection and NEC-required conductor protection. This has to do with services, as you can see. Be aware of labeling requirements for multiple electrical services to a facility. Be aware of labeling requirements for multiple voltages present within a facility. Understand the relationship among short circuit withstand rating, available short circuit current, and distribution system modeling. Know the terminology now required on labeling and application of surge protection devices. Recognize the power of the vague requirement for satisfactory workmanship. Understand the factors surrounding a decision for direct bury conductors, conduit, or concrete encased conduit. Understand how manufacturers' installation instructions are enforceable through the code. Understand the progress from general arc flash warning labels to detailed joules per square centimeter and personal protective equipment levels required. Be able to define multi-wire circuits. Be able to report design requirements associated with multi-wire circuits. This is new in the 2008 code. So if it doesn't ring a bell with you, that's exactly right. That's one of the new things we're doing in this code. Be able to list 7 service grounds which must be connected if present. And I always laugh here because the list of 7 service grounds has 8 elements. That's interesting in its own light, isn't it? Be able to relate the example demonstrating why we don't ground the service to natural gas piping. Be able to report the legal replacement for sheet metal screws for ground connections. Be able to discuss cold ironing. Be able to describe an inter-system bonding terminal and its use. Know the rules for labeling voltage hazard, the commercial limitation, and common workaround. Be able to report the rules on bringing a fiber optic cable into a facility. Recognize the content and tone of TIA 942. TIA 942 is just an absolutely superb document issued for the information technology people. No, we don't have to be information technology people, but we have to have the pipes in place so they can do what they've got to do. So we've got to know what they've got to do in order to do it right. Be able to describe fiber optic interduct and Maxell. Maxell is a new product on the market that I think you will find very interesting. Be able to discuss the advantages and disadvantages of declaring a space to be an IT equipment room. The course is intended for project managers, electrical engineers, engineers and architects who work with electrical engineers and contractors who must deal with electrical inspectors. It's the job of electrical designers to meet the sometimes peculiar requirements of the National Electric Code. This course is intended to help them be aware of the requirements, how they are generally interpreted, and just a little how to meet them. Project managers, architects, and supervisors need a passing understanding of the mindset of the National Electric Code and some problems with inspectors that can be avoided. Contractors are always looking for more economical ways to complete a project. This course helps focus on problem areas, but it is not a design guide. This course reviews the 2008 version of NFPA 70, the National Electric Code, in common English. Because the book is so massive, only topics found critical or difficult to understand in the author's experience are included. Other content of the code is indicated but not pursued. The presentation follows that in the code in the same order. Sections discussed are cited. You must have access to a copy of the 2008 National Electric Code to check the exact wording of requirements for your immediate design and construction questions. It's not intended that a copy of the code is needed at your computer in order to take this course and quiz. The course content is on kind of a massive file. It was 3 megabytes last time I looked that you can download from the internet. And again, we'll be going through it here word by word with some discussion of the illustrations that are included. In the published version, there is a summary at the end. We haven't done the core yet, but let's look at the summary anyway. The course attempted to review new and critical sections of the 2008 National Electric Code. It did not include exercises in calculating the minimum size for junction boxes based on the number and size of conductors. The reason I mention that is we have a very well recognized instructor in the National Electric Code in my hometown who teaches a course with each new version of the code, and he spends half of one session going through calculations of box fill. Now, I know this is important. It has a significant place in the field application of the National Electric Code. We can make mistakes on the paper as long as the field guy recognizes it and fixes it before the electrical inspector sees it. And so it comes down on the head of the electrician and the electrical supervisor in the field. And it is important, but we're not doing that here. We're kind of swooping low and picking up critical ideas and places where I have some experience and something to contribute. Space is not available to review many of the very basic principles which have not changed for many, many revisions, such as sizing motor circuits and motor controls. Fortunately, though, PDH Online offers a wide range of electrical courses which do address these needs. After you've recovered from the current exercise, please spend a few minutes reviewing the other PDH Online courses that are available. One of our requirements for all courses for PDH Online is a list of internet references. In the actual content, there are a few places where I introduce something with the website right there at the place it's introduced. I try to do that if I copy any pictures directly off the internet so that you can go back to the original, not be working from my copy. But the list that is associated with this course goes as follows. NFPA.org, the National Fire Protection Association, the people that sell the National Electric Code, the Code Handbook, and related standards and training materials. IAEI.com, the International Association of Electrical Inspectors, a very highly regarded voluntary organization with excellent publications and many local chapters. NECA-NEIS.org, the National Electrical Contractors Association, in association with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, publishes a series of very readable guides on the installation of different kinds of equipment. ANSI NECA 1-200, Standard Practices for Good Workmanship in Electrical Contracting, is cited in NEC Section 110.12. MikeHolt.com. Mike Holt writes extensively on electrical design and construction issues and has a library of training materials available. JoeTedesco.org. Joe Tedesco is another prolific expert in electrical construction. In the past, he's published reams and reams of photographs of really bad electrical installations, and there are things to learn to avoid from them. Brainfiller.com. A fellow named Jim Phillips has a training organization focused on very current, somewhat difficult electrical design problems. He has a remarkable ability to focus on core objectives and translate problems into cookbook solutions. He also writes for the NFPA publications. Well, that concludes our first session. I hope you'll be coming back for the second section after you've had a drink of water and maybe taking care of some other business, or maybe tomorrow. But again, thank you for joining me, and I look forward to continuing with you.